I want to direct my thoughts tonight to our 9 graduating seniors. But since it's from the Word of God, I believe all of us can be benefited by this study of God's Word. Our text tonight is Ephesians 5, the text that Tyler read for us, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. I want to encourage our 9 graduates tonight to redeem the time, to make the most of the time today. And in this text, I want to suggest several different ways that we do that and reasons why we need to redeem the time. First of all, to redeem the time, we must watch our steps. To redeem the time, watch your steps. The Scripture says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The word circumspectly means accurately or diligently or carefully. See that you walk carefully. Watch your steps. Why is it so important? Why is that such a key part of redeeming the time and watching our steps? Well, one very obvious reason, yet it may be one that our graduates may not be thinking about tonight. And that is because our time on earth is limited. Psalm 39 verse 4 says, "Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am." I read about an article that appeared in People magazine several years ago entitled "Dead Ahead." And it was an article about a clock that had been manufactured, a new clock that keeps track of how much time you have left to live. For the men, it was based on the average lifespan of men being 75 years old, and for women, 80 years old. And once you purchased this clock, you could punch in your age and your gender, and then the clock would begin ticking, and it would indicate to you how much time you had left on earth. I didn't buy one. What probably wasn't a bestseller, but what a sobering thought to remember. I want to direct my thoughts tonight to that clock, 70 years, 75, or 80. As was announced last Wednesday night, there was a junior at Mobile Christian that was killed in a car wreck. And that really shook the students at Mobile Christian, and it was a good thing about it was how the students responded. But what a reminder to all of us that we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. In fact, the proverb says, "Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day is going to bring forth." That's why we need to make the most of this day. That's why we need to watch our steps, because our time is so limited. Psalm 90 verse 12, "So teach us," the psalmist says, "to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Watch your steps. Secondly, to redeem the time, we need to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. "See then that you walk carefully," or circumspectly, "not as fools, but as wise." And oh, how we need wisdom. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid us." We need wisdom in order to live life the way God intended it. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Graduates, I want to read the first 9 verses. What I'd like for all of us to picture is a father speaking to his son, perhaps graduation age. Because it's written from that perspective, from a father to a son. And notice what the main subject of this section of Scripture is all about. "Hear, my children," the father says, "the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Think about that. As a father says to his children, in all you're getting, in all your undertakings, in all the pursuits that you're going to pursue in your life, be sure that you get wisdom. Be sure that you get wisdom. Walk in wisdom. An integral part of walking in wisdom is the need to set priorities in our lives. And may I remind all of us that our number one priority is to put God first. Jesus was asked on one occasion, which is the first, the foremost commandment of all? Jesus' reply was, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Our first priority tonight should be to love God with all of our being, to put Him first. As Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things, meaning the necessities of life, God is going to make sure that you're taken care of, but you've got to put Him first. Wisdom is a matter of setting proper priorities. Patrick Morley is a successful religious author. Many books have been sold by his writing. And his business was taking off. And for the first time, he was getting offers and was asked to speak on several different occasions. In fact, his calendar was just being filled with opportunities. And his business of writing books and selling them was getting so prosperous. But the more he was spending time away with his business, the less and less time he was spending at home with his family. But he was in demand. And he said to his wife one day, We have finally arrived. But his wife, Patsy, said something that really caused him to stop and think. She says, Yes, we've arrived, but at the wrong place. At the wrong place. Morley began to reflect on his life and realized his priorities were out of order. He'd been neglecting that family that God had blessed him with. And so, as he began to look through his calendar, he decided he was going to prioritize his days. And he asked this question. He said to his wife, Why not prioritize everything we do on the basis of who's going to be crying at our funeral? He would say, This simple question saved our family. And what a way to make sure our priorities are in order. That we put God first, but then we think about who's going to miss me when I'm gone. Of course, it's my family. It's my close friends. It's those around me that I can have an influence upon for good. And what a way of setting our priorities. And what a way of reminding us that we must always prioritize people over things. Walk in wisdom. Thirdly, weigh your opportunities. Or as the scripture says, redeem the time because the days are evil. The word redeem has two implications here. The word redeem implies the preciousness of that opportune time, a jewel to be bought at any price. We redeem the time by realizing just how precious time is. But also that word redeem tells us that as a shrewd businessman, we need to buy up every opportunity that we have and make the most of every moment, as other translations stated. Make the most of every opportunity. And what that means is we make the most of today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not a guarantee. We have today. And we need to redeem this time. Someone said, well, the two greatest enemies of time are regrets for things we did in the past and worrying about things in the future. We need to make the most of this time right now. But I know especially graduating from high school, and I remember well thinking, what am I going to do now? Especially the prospect of leaving home. Who's going to cook my meals? And there's so many things on our minds about the future. Well, let's not be guilty of playing this game of I wish it were, of thinking about the future. Gary Freeman tells about a girl who graduated from high school and went to college. And she just hated it. But she kept telling herself, if I can never get out of college and get married and have children, then I'll be able to enjoy life. And so she stuck with it, and she went to classes and finally graduated from college. And she got married and had children, but then she discovered, hey, raising a family, that's a lot of work. If I can ever get these children raised, then I can enjoy life more. I'll be able to relax then and really enjoy life. About the time the kids were entering high school, and she's thinking to herself, well, it's almost done. Her husband says to her one day, honey, I've just realized something. We don't have enough money to send our children to college, so you need to get a job. She didn't want to get a job, but she realized in order to help her children go to college that she had to, and so she did. She hated it. She hated working. She wanted so desperately to quit. And so she thought, well, if I can just get enough money to send our kids to college and pay off all the bills, then I'll be able to really enjoy life. Well, she worked and worked. And finally, the last child finished college. And so with jubilation, she approached her employer's desk the next day and proudly said, I quit. Well, the employer responded, you don't want to quit right now. If you just work 8 more years, you'll have a pension through our company for the rest of your life. Well, she began thinking about that. And even though she didn't want to work, she thought, well, that would be so helpful to our family. And so she stuck it out. Well, if I can just make it 8 more years, then I can retire and enjoy life. Well, she did that. And she and her husband retired at the same time. They were able to sell their home and they bought a little retirement cottage. And listen to me carefully. Then they sat down on the swing on their front porch, got out their family albums, and dreamed about the good old days. Instead of thinking, I wish it were, if only this would happen, I could be happy. We need to make the most of this time. The psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Weigh your opportunities. Number 4, watch for troubles. Watch for troubles. The Apostle Paul says, redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. You may not want to hear that, but that's what God says. The days are evil. In fact, Jesus, in preparing His disciples for His departure, told them essentially, hey, things aren't going to go smoothly all the time for you. In fact, He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. John 16:33. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In this world, folks, you're going to have tribulation. In fact, being a child of God does not exempt you from the trials of life. But being a child of God does mean that you have divine resources to sustain you through the difficult times that will come. It may be sickness. It may be a loss of job. It may be, you name it. Look around us. See some things that have happened in the lives of our families who have been here a while. And we realize we're not exempt to troubles. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in what? In the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The days are evil because Satan is alive and well, and he wants us, when we're going through those trials, he wants us to turn away from God in desperation and give up. He's trying to defeat us, even to destroy us with the things that we face. But we've got to be aware that yes, there are going to be trials. But think about, again, the divine resources that we have. There was a young man that was living in Hawaii. And he noted he was an avid NFL football fan. Well, Monday night football he thoroughly enjoyed, especially when his team was playing. But the thing was, because of the time difference, the game wouldn't air in Hawaii until about 6:30 Hawaii time. So it was several hours after the game had actually been played. Well, this man was such an avid football fan that he couldn't stand to wait, especially if his team was playing. He couldn't wait until 6:30 to see how the game went. He would listen to the radio, which gave a live broadcast. But if his team was playing, he still wanted to turn his television on at 6:30 and enjoy the game. But listen to what he says. "If I know my team has won the game, it influences how I watch it on television. If my team fumbles the ball or throws an interception, it's not a problem. I simply think, well, that's bad. But I know that in the end, we win." Folks, as a child of God, we have that same assurance. Yes, Jesus told us we're not going to be spared trials. We're going to face them. But we need to keep in mind as we're going through them, yes, this is bad, it's difficult, it's hard. But in the end, I know we're going to win. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come." Remember Him now. And as we sang in the song earlier, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Faith is the victory because of what Jesus has done for us. But even Jesus told us we need to watch and prepare ourselves for trials. But then fifthly and finally, to redeem the time, we need to want what God wants. Look with me, verse 17. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Or paraphrase, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. We redeem the time when we think about what our God wants us to do. What is the Master's will? What is the Lord's will for not only our graduating seniors? What is the Lord's will for all of us? Well, it's in here. And I don't have time to go through the whole Word tonight. So I want to suggest to you four things that I know from the Word of God that is His will for you and for me. Number one, He wants all of us to be saved. All of us. 1 Timothy 2:4. Says the very thing. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. That's His will for you. And He's gone to such extraordinary lengths to make that possible in giving His Son as the propitiation for our sins. And He's done everything necessary for you to be saved, but there is a response on our part. And unless we respond, we cannot enjoy what God wills for us. He wants us to be saved. Secondly, He wants each of us to be a functioning member of His family. The church is God's idea. In fact, in His wisdom, He ordained that when a person obeys the gospel, when they're saved from their sins by the blood of Jesus, when they're baptized, that they're added to His family. The church is His idea. It exists for His purposes. And it's for our good. His glory and our good. And I hope that our graduates, I hope you graduates, in whatever endeavors you are planning to make, and wherever you go, if it's away from Mobile, if you go to Auburn, if you go to Tuscaloosa, wherever you may go, seek out the Lord's church. Realize that the church exists so that we can strengthen one another. Do make that the first priority. In fact, if you're investigating where you want to go, look out for the Lord's church, the congregation there, and see what's going on there, and see if you can be a part of it and help you to grow there. The Lord wants you to be a functioning member of His family. Thirdly, God wants you to be conformed more and more into the image of Christ. He wants you and I to become, you and me, to become more and more like Jesus. Romans 8:29, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Peter says, "Hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." That's what God wills for you and me, that we walk in the steps of Jesus, that we become more and more like Him. Make that your goal. Let's all make it our goal to be more and more like Jesus. What does God want? Ultimately, He wants you to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. In Matthew 25, verse 34, in a judgment scene, when Jesus judges the world, He says, "Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" But in that same context, that judgment scene, it will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We read, "Then He will also say to those on His left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" You see, graduates, life isn't just about graduating from high school. Life isn't just about going to college or finding just the right job. Life even isn't about finding just the right person to marry. This life is about preparing for the life to come. And the time that we do that is now. Graduates, I want you to think about your life right now before God. And ask yourselves right now, if Jesus were to come back tonight, would I go to heaven? You see, the time to make those preparations is right now. There isn't a better way to conclude this day than by making sure your life is right with God. If you need to respond to Him in obedience and obeying the gospel, why not do that tonight? Why not leave this building here tonight a child of God that's on his way home? Or if there's things in our lives that we know that aren't right and we need the forgiveness of God, why not make that known? Why not confess it and ask your church family to pray for you, that you can be cleansed from sin? One day we're going to give account of our lives before God. And the time that we prepare for that is right now. For our graduating seniors, may you have enough happiness to keep you sweet, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, enough hope to keep you happy, enough failure to keep you humble, enough success to keep you eager. May you have enough friends to give you comfort, enough wealth to meet your needs. May you have enough enthusiasm to make you look forward to tomorrow, and enough determination to make each day better than the day before. Redeem the time. Watch your steps. Walk in wisdom. Weigh your opportunities. Watch for troubles that will come. But always, always want what God wants. Then you will be assured of victory. I close with Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. Will you not remember Him? And if you need to respond, do so right now as we stand and sing.